Hey guys, Venomous Fat Man here, and I got a new segment of The Bit, The Boys in the Tube, and this time I got a very special guest. You guys know him as a guy that hangs around with DSP. He has just opened up his new YouTube channel. It just recently got partnered. I'm sitting down with John Rambo. So, John, how you doing?
Doing excellent today. How's it going, Mr. Fat Man?
I'm just hanging around. Everything's good, bro. So, let's get it started. So, right now, you just opened up your YouTube channel not too long ago, so tell everybody, you know, in a couple brief sentences what you're all about.
Okay, my name is John. I'm straight. I'm an Aquarius. I like watching TV, and I play Street Fighter and have a YouTube channel.
Short, simple, and to the point. So, started all off, one of the big first major things that you did for your YouTube channel, at least from what I remember when you first started posting videos up, was when you went to Japan for Togeki. Now, for most of you guys out there that don't know, Togeki is Super Battle Opera. It's a big fighting game, championship fighting game tournament. So talk to us about it. You know, what was it like going down there? How much fun it was?
It was pretty tremendous. It was definitely the goal of my Street Fighter playing career, I guess if you want to call it, to get there and play the best. And going to Japan for Street Fighter is like going to Canada for hockey or like Italy for pasta or something, you know. So it's definitely a place I wanted to get to. And to see those players in that environment, in their own environment, and how good they are. And you hear the stories before you go about how high a level they play at. And you kind of understand it, but until you get there and really experience it, it's just a whole other world. And they got these really beautiful, professional, excellent arcades all over the place. It was a tremendous experience. I often look back on it, I'm like, did that really happen? You know, was it a real thing? You know, almost like a dream. You know, so it's definitely a place I want to get back to, and the focus of my competitive gaming energy you would put back into that, trying to get back there. Got some unfinished business to take care of over there.
That's awesome. I mean, it must have been really good because not a lot of people really get the opportunity to go to Japan to play video games of all things. You know, it's like pretty much almost every gamer's dream. So you must have been, you know, on cloud nine when you were down there.
Certainly feel blessed in that regard, you know. You know, I tried to really soak it in while I was there and really enjoy it because I know it's once in a lifetime kind of deal. So unfortunately, I don't feel like I played up to my full potential. I don't think the work that I put in really came out in the actual event. But no, I certainly feel blessed to have been able to have that opportunity to go there. So I think someone sent me a message and they're like, John, you got to participate in Togeki. You went to the Pokemon Center. And you went to the Tokyo Game Show. It's probably the best vacation ever. And I kind of looked at that when I got home, and I was like, yeah, you know, it pretty much was. So.
That's a hard one to top. I mean, you went to play to Japan. You played Street Fighter. You saw a whole bunch of Japanese arcades, which, you know, not a lot of people get to see many arcades these days. And you went to a Pokemon Center. It's like a whole segment of The Hangover. You know, it's just like awesome day or awesome vacation ever.
If you're a gamer, you have to get there. And you go to Akihabara, and they have these stores that are just insane. I mean, seven floors high of games, and you know, one after another. You know, and it's not like we have, you know, crappy GameStop here or something like that. You know, it's just professional, and they have everything, and it's unbelievable, man. You have to get there, you know, see it and believe it, you know. So.
That's awesome. So, you know, before we get more into that, because we'll get into some more Street Fighter and stuff like that a little later, rewind everything back, you know, to go back to the very beginning about you, John, you know, as a game player, you know, mm-hmm. Where was it, you know, for you where video games like first really started? Or like, what was it like when you first started playing video games?
I'm 27 years old. So I probably some point in the 80s, I just remember going to my aunt's house, and she had the Atari 2600. And I was hooked from the start, you know. I remember just seeing it and all the different – I remember the 2600, all these different controllers. And I just remember, like, picking them up and looking at them and just kind of pulled me in from that point. And then I think later on, you know, the NES. And then the Super Nintendo Genesis era was when I was really able to play games like competently. So it was just because I was old enough. And I've been playing games, pretty much my whole life. And it's just a great thing. So.
Yeah, we're all fans of games. So I'm pretty sure, much like everybody else, you really have like that affinity or that, that close, connection with video games, ever since you were young.
I think a lot of people don't have something that from their childhood that comes into their adult life that, in that way. So I think it's a cool thing. It's like I've been playing games. I understand the history of games. It's always been there, and it probably always will be there in my life. So I kind of appreciate it for that.
I mean, that's awesome. Now, to get a little more further into that, everybody knows, everybody that's seen Phil's channel and stuff, everybody knows you're friends with DSP. You guys, you hang, you play games together. When was it, like, the actual first time or the first, opportunity when you actually met someone like Phil, or when that friendship first, came to light?
Yeah, this is something a lot of people want to know, always ask, so I guess I'll dish it. Basically, once I got, a car and I got a job, I was able to participate in the Street Fighter community. And basically, in my area, there was an arcade. And at this arcade, I met two people. I met my friend Jamie and my friend Tony. And we used to play Street Fighter all the time, like every week, and we'd play all the different games, Super Turbo, Capcom vs. NK2, and like Third Strike were popular at that time. So I think it was 2005. DSP went to Evolution, and he was the highest placing American player. He got like fourth place in Super Turbo. So I saw this, and I saw the results and all that. I said, "Wow, this guy's in Connecticut, which is my area." And my friend Tony knew Phil a little bit, so I said, "Tony, you got to get this guy DSP to play with us," because I wasn't part of Phil's circle of friends at that point, So I said, "Dude, you got to get this guy Phil to come over and play." So I guess a couple weeks later, Phil actually came. I remember I was kind of nervous to meet him, and he showed up and we were playing. I think he was basically thought we were going to play CVS2 and Third Strike, which were the more popular games at the time. And I was like, "Dude, can we play Super Turbo?" And he's like, "Really? You want to play Super Turbo?" And we started playing, and it just kind of led from there. And I started going to his house every week, and I kind of became his training partner because he was way into the tournament scene at that point. He was like basically one of the best players in the country at that point. So I started just going to his house and training, and then we just became friends and traveling together to all these different tournaments. And Phil's done a lot of great things for me, and people don't know that side of him. So basically, like, I'm just some kid, that was new to Street Fighter, and he was already a top player, and he let me, come into his world, and I learned so much just because he plays so many different characters. And he started taking me to tournaments and stuff, and that he pulled me into the Street Fighter scene. And this is kind of like what's happened lately, where he's pulled me into the YouTube scene as well. So
it's kind of converted you.
Yeah, Phil's kind of just dragging me along through the, for the last, better part of a decade. So,
but that's awesome. I mean, there you guys have it. You don't have to ask him or anybody else ever again. There you go. There's the story of how they.
Yeah, we really, for that 2006, 2007, we just went crazy. We went to so many tournaments all throughout the country. We practiced every week. We played on Christmas Day. I remember I went to Phil's living with his parents at that point. I drove up. And we practiced Street Fighter Super Turbo on Christmas Day, so we were way into it at that point. And so that's pretty much how it all began.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, ever since you guys first really became friends like that, or at least you in your own right, did you guys, like, really, or, just not just you and Phil, but just your whole circle of friends, did you guys really, like, almost all the time, just playing games or playing Street Fighter, training for tournaments and stuff like that? Or did you actually, plan it out or actually, put aside time for you to do other things?
We would just meet up pretty much every week at that point. At that point, it was Phil, myself, our friend Walter, our friend Tony, and we'd meet up pretty much every week at Phil's And we play games, we play Street Fighter, and then we usually go do something at night, you know, go get some food or something more social. And then that's how we all kind of became a family, you know, and we all traveled together. We take these long road trips up to there's this arcade in Massachusetts, which doesn't exist anymore. It's called Tokyo Game Action. And this was an excellent arcade. We go up there once a month, and it was like a 3-4 hour drive. Me and Phil went to Atlanta. We went to Chicago. So all throughout the country. So we all kind of just became close through the travel and the, just became friends like that. So.
And that's great. I mean, it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun doing all the things that you guys had done, you know, travel.
And I encourage anyone to get into the scene. It's, and travel and I got this. Street Fighter's brought so much to me. It's brought me friends. I've been able to travel all throughout the United States. I went to Japan. So just through Street Fighter. So I really appreciate that. It's brought me quite a bit of good times. And it's always there. You know, when something in my life isn't going well, it's there, you know, and those guys are there. So something I really appreciate.
I mean, that's awesome. One more question before we go to another part or another video. Would you say, you know, playing games like that or playing Street Fighter in particular, it's better off playing with more kind of like a crowd or with your friends than it is going alone?
Yeah, absolutely. Something we're trying to do right now is helping people to build a scene. You know, we have a Super Turbo cabinet in our town. So what I'd like to see everyone do is try to get one in your city and just get a few people over to play. You know, it's more about the social experience at first. And then the game, getting good at the games comes later because you become friends with people and you trust people and you start helping each other and you grow from there. And playing offline is 1,000 times better than playing just online. It's a completely different world. The game actually, you know, plays differently. And you're missing out on that social aspect that we used to have in the day with the arcades and things like that. So try to build something in your town. It's quite possible. You know, we've done it here, so you can do it too.
There you guys go. I mean, that sounds awesome. We're going to get more into depth with it, you know, in just a second. Be sure to check out the next part, guys, going to part two. Hey guys, Venomous Fat Man here again. I'm here sitting down with John Rambo on The Bit, the boys in the tube. And we were just talking about him as a video game player in part one. If you haven't seen it yet, just check out part one before continuing on. So we talked about you as a gamer, John. So now we're going to get into some more like, you know, specific stuff, you know, specifically about Super Turbo or Street Fighter in general. So most of the stuff that I've seen your videos on, you know, pretty much the subject matter that comes up all the time is Super Turbo. And that's pretty much the game you went to go to, was it Super Battle Opera to play competitively?
Right.
So, you know, talk about, you know, what does Super Turbo really mean to you, or why is that that is your game of choice?
Well, what I like to tell people if you're new and you only play Street Fighter 4, the way I describe Super Turbo is, you know, in Street Fighter 4 where you have, like, both players have no life?
Yeah.
At the end of the round and the time's running out and there's, like, no one has any life and it becomes really intense and crazy. Like, that's what Super Turbo is the entire round from the start, because the game has so much damage. And you have to be so precise with everything you do. So it's just, I think it's the most intense game and the speed and how brutal, the brutality of it, how this could just turn around or fall apart on you in any second. And the pretty high execution barrier just for like normal moves. Also something I appreciate about the game. And when someone really masters it, it's really impressive to me. So, that's pretty much how I would describe Super Turbo and why I like Super Turbo.
Yeah, so, you know, going off from that, you know, because you mentioned Street Fighter 4 and also I'm guessing Super Street Fighter 4 now that that's out recently. Of the two games, which one do you feel takes actually the more skill to actually master, you know, based on everything?
I don't like to really get into that kind of stuff too much. I respect anyone that plays any game or puts, you know, their blood, sweat, and tears into any game competitively. So I don't know if you could really compare the two. I personally prefer Super Turbo, but I don't think it's really fair to say which one is more difficult or anything like that. So I don't think it's really between Super Turbo and Street Fighter 4, although I you know, the Super Turbo community would love some of those players to come and join in and participate as well. So, you know, the main fight we got going on right now is the Super Turbo versus HDR stuff. And
yeah, that's exactly what I was going to get into next, is that, you know, about HDR, you know, what are your thoughts, or pretty much anything that you think about, you know, between the two, you know, with HDR being this kind of, you know, revised or retweaked version of Super Turbo?
I really, I was really excited for HDR, like a lot of people were. I actually bought my Xbox. I did not own an Xbox or a PS3 before HDR came out. So right before HDR was coming out, I bought an Xbox. I bought a stick for the Xbox. I got my gold card. I played HDR online for a long time. I went to two major tournaments in 2009 just for HDR. I did not play Super Turbo at all in 2009, only HDR. And by the end of 2009, I was kind of like, I'm not really enjoying this. I'm not having fun with this game and or the games that are out. And I was pretty much ready to be done with Street Fighter, you know, until Togeki announced all that stuff. That's another story, I guess. But I don't know, the thing you have to remember about HDR is, like, it wasn't made by Capcom. It was basically outsourced to Backbone Entertainment, which is a company that made a port of Super Turbo for the PS2, which was not very good at all. And what's interesting is, as being a member of the Super Turbo community before HDR, like, no one had problems with the game. The people that went to tournaments, the people that loved the game, you never really heard complaints. It was considered to be the most balanced Street Fighter game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, for all that time. And no one really asked for that to be done. And I think most people disagree with a lot of things that were done with the game. So,
would you, in your opinion, though, you know, just to kind of summarize everything, like what you just said, you know, in a much more smaller, you know, package, are you pretty much happy with a lot of the changes that went into HD Remix from Super Turbo, or do you think it should have never actually been made in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's a sad thing of what happened with it. I think that had it come out without changes, with the new graphics, maybe like a year earlier. It was originally supposed to come out about a year earlier, but then they decided to make the remix mode, so then it got delayed. So what happened is it came out right before Street Fighter 4, like 2-3 months before it, and then just got, you know, swallowed up by the wave of Street Fighter 4 popularity. But had it come out in like 2007, it would have been pretty huge, because the old players would have liked it. The new players would have got into it. It would have been kind of a revival, and people were starving for a Street Fighter game at that point. And that's really when it should have came out, what it really should have been. And as far as the changes go, like the creator of HD Remix wants to always tout that, you know, the lower tier characters are so much better now. The people that are the best Blanca, Ken, Cammy, T-Hawk players don't agree with the changes that were put into the game. And those are the people that, you know, I respect their opinion and what they have to say. And that's pretty much what most of these guys will tell you.
Those changes, what you mentioned, you know, you mentioned T-Hawk, Cammy, and I forgot the other couple, but do you really think that those changes really hurt more than they did help, you know, with the actual game?
I don't know if it, the way I look at Super Turbo is, like, you go, every character has some kind of, I guess you could say, some kind of a broken thing or an abusable aspect to the character. So basically, like, this is part of what's cool about ST is, like, every character has something like that. So it's like every character is going into battle with a bazooka, you know?
Yeah.
And you kind of took some of that away, and everyone's kind of weaker, and it's like HDR is like everyone's got like a little knife and you're going to a fight.
Wow.
So it's kind of a way to look at it.
That is a very funny analogy. I would have never thought of looking at it kind of like that, but it makes sense, though, like what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, it also, like, the things that HDR tried to do aren't really necessary. Like, it made it easier execution, but you could have easier execution if you just practice the game, and then you can execute better, you know? So there's your easy execution. you know, the tiers and stuff like the balance and stuff like that. It's like, it's easier to use certain characters perhaps in matchups, but if you put the work in, you put time in, then the match is easier because you know what you're doing. You know, it's not supposed to hold your hand. It's supposed to be a competitive game. So that's how I would say, that's things I would say.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier in the last part, you know, you mentioned about online play. So, you know, just kind of elaborate more on that. You know, what are your thoughts really on online versus offline play?
I appreciate certain aspects of the online play. It's not something that existed even a couple of years ago. I do play on GGPO and Supercade are two programs where you can play Super Turbo. It's if you play on there and then you go and then play on like a offline or a cabinet, it's just like, whoa, you know, it's a weird feeling. It's like it's very different. You can't really explain what it is. I think the thing you have to do to make online help you is to find the balance of offline and online. And one of the things you might get from an online game is like certain matchups, or you might find people that play a certain way or a certain character that people in your offline scene don't use. And that's why you have to kind of look at it like that. And there are things like lag tactics and online tactics, and you have to really try to avoid learning that stuff because it doesn't apply to an offline match.
Yeah. So pretty much, you know, offline play is a much more better, you know, avenue to take when you're actually like thinking about seriously getting into Street Fighter or going to that tournament scene, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people that only play online, and it's kind of baffling. You know, you're missing out on a whole world of things. And I don't really know what the point would be. I mean, like, unless you're like a really just casual player and like once a month you want to play. But there's people that play online all the time. They never show up to any event. It's like, what is the point of that? You know, offline tournaments, it's the true test of like your knowledge and what you know and what you've learned. And that's like, I'd like to see more people, less people just play online and more people showing up to stuff.
Yeah, you know, to go off from that, you know, there's, besides offline tournaments and stuff, you know, and just casual online play, there's also, you know, a growing trend, you know, here and there with online tournaments. You know, I believe one of them, you know, for Street Fighter 4, I believe a while back it was Newegg, and then there's been a couple others here and there. You know, what are your thoughts, you know, on online tournaments, you know, with that whole scene?
If it's going to build towards a an offline thing, or if it's used in a way to help people get to an offline event. I think EVO is doing something now where they're doing a Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4 tournament, and if you win the online tournament, then you get to go to EVO. Then, you know, something like that. If it leads to something offline, like if you're only playing online tournaments, you're missing out on something. There's nothing like beating someone, and then you turn around, there's a crowd of people there, and they're, you know, yelling shit and. You're missing out. Yeah, you know, you're definitely missing out on that if you're not going to participate like that.
Sounds very crazy. You know, one more question, you know, before we go to another part. You know, for something like EVO or for something like more, you know, a lot of these big tournaments that are all over the place, whether it's Togeki or whatnot, which version of Super Turbo should they actually implement into their actual lineup? Should it be the HD Remix version, which, you know, a lot of the tournaments are starting to do now, or should they just go back to the original ST?
Well, what's happened in the United States is when HD Remix came out, that was the tournament standard. But now the things are starting to shift, and people are starting to become unhappy with that game. And starting to realize that maybe we're missing out on something that's in Super Turbo, and some of the major tournaments now are switching back to arcade Super Turbo on arcade hardware. So the first one was Seasons Beatings in Ohio. They ran a Super Turbo on a cabinet tournament. This was about a month ago. And that's probably like the second biggest American tournament, so that was a big deal. And now we have NEC in Philadelphia. That's going to be in early December, and that's also going to be have a Super Turbo arcade cabinet. So we're starting to see the shift in things. And I think our group of players is definitely kind of fueling that change in a lot of ways. So. That's currently what's going on. And of course, in Japan, there is no HDR. It didn't come out in Japan. It was made for a Western audience. And in Japan, they love Super Turbo. I don't see them ever switching to anything else. It's got a strong tradition. When I was there, there's people playing the entire day, like literally Tuesday morning in the arcade, there's people there up until midnight. And it often makes like the top 10 most played arcade games in Japan list. So if you think about how many games come out in Japan, how many games there are in those arcades, and Super Turbo after 15 years is still in the top 10 most played games. So
that's amazing. That's amazing that such a game that's been around for so long will still be in like the top charts.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's like it just came out. When I was there, it was like it just came out, basically.
That's got to be such a sight to see. But anyway, we're going to go to another part, guys. Be sure to check out part 3. Hey, guys. Venomous Fat Man here. I'm back on the bit. The boy's in the tube, and I'm sitting down right now with John Rambo. In the last part, we were talking about Street Fighter and Super Turbo, his game of choice. Now we're going to kind of move away from the fighting game scene and get more into actual games that John Rambo might actually like, you know, games that are much more, you know, that he plays on his spare time away from Street Fighter. So to start it off, John, what are some of the games that are real and dear, close to your heart, besides Super Turbo?
Oh, geez. I played pretty much every major release for the last, 20 years or so. I don't know. I mean, like, recently, I just beat Fable 3, Vanquish, the new Castlevania, Red Dead Redemption. So I'm pretty up on, like, the new stuff coming out. If you want to talk about it, back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day is more what I was getting at.
Okay, A Link to the Past. This is my personal favorite Zelda game. I played the hell out of that. All the Mario games, Super Mario World, Sonic, pretty much all that stuff, you know. I love the Ninja Gaiden type of...
Those games are hard.
Yeah, like that, whatever genre you want to throw that in, like that game, Bayonetta, was another one that came out recently, Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden. So I like that kind of stuff.
You're more kind of like the action or like beat 'em up type of a...
Yeah, like the fast-paced reflex... requiring type of games like that.
You must have loved Vanquish.
I'm a fan of like the shmup genre, like Raiden and those type of games, like R-Type.
What do you mean exactly by shmup genre?
Well, I guess they're called shoot 'em up, so people say shmup.
Oh, okay.
The acronym used for those kind of games, you know what I mean? Like the 2D, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just didn't get the acronym SHMUD. I was like, what does he mean by SHMUD? I'm like...
Shoot 'em up, so SHMUP. But, yeah, there's a lot of cool games recently that have, for that genre, like Death Smiles is one on the 360, and those types of games I really appreciate. I like those games, so very tough. I like really challenging games, I'd say.
There's nothing wrong with that. That sounds pretty cool. But to get more into more kind of like genre specific, you know, just shouting out a couple genres out at you, you know, just so people could get a clear idea, you know, of what, you know, what type of gamer you really are. For example, out of your favorite games or some of the best games that you played thus far, let's say what are some of your favorite like RPGs or maybe your favorite you know, action games, or maybe even your favorite racing games, even if that's the case, or sports games?
Well, racing, I'd say F-Zero. Well, the Super Nintendo one and the GameCube one was really underrated. I really like those. The Mario Kart games, I was way into those games. So I guess I'm more into the arcade-style racing. I did play Gran Turismo back in, the first Gran Turismo. Sports games, people don't really know this about me, but I'm actually a basketball fan, so I have the 2K11 right now.
Really?
I really like that game. RPGs, I pretty much liked all the Final Fantasies, except for, like, the newest one and, the 11 or whatever, the online version. I also did, like, all the Square games back in the day, Chrono Trigger and another Square game I liked was Parasite Eve. It was a PlayStation 1 game. I really like that game.
They got a new game for that coming pretty soon. I think it's the third birthday.
Someone told me that recently for the PSP, I guess. So
cool. Yeah.
I love Pokemon counts as an RPG.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I'll play those like once every couple years. I'll usually skip one and play like the next one. So I played Every couple of years, I'll get one.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, getting a little bit much more into, like, just games in general. You know, with everything that's been going on with the game industry, what is it that maybe you're happy about, or what is it that you maybe dislike, or what is it that you want to see, you know, more of in the game industry as it is now from, you know, since the last major release that would be, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops, for example. You know, be that.
I don't think anyone knows what's going on with the games of the future. Like, even the game companies and these so-called experts, I don't think anyone knows where things should go. Some people want to do 3D technology. Some people are saying everything should be handheld, like a like an iPad kind of deal. But I don't know. I don't know what the future is. I think a lot of stuff coming out the last couple of years has just kind of been retreads. And, like, I mean, I remember, like, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting there and I was playing Sonic 4, and I was playing Castlevania, the new Castlevania, and I'm like, this is what I played 20 years ago. So it's, I don't think anyone knows where to go. I'd like to see more new licenses come out.
New IPs? Like,
yeah, like something like Vanquish just came out. I really like that game. Just new new titles, new licenses. And, you know, this is something I've talked about before on my channel or whatever, but, you know, at some point someone, you know, stood up at E3 and announced Castlevania, like the first fucking Castlevania for the first time. And the recent E3s is just kind of like, here's, you know, this the fifth incarnation of whatever. So, I like, yeah, I'd like to see more original titles come out.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned E3. Of all the big events that have just happened, I know E3 already passed, Comic-Con already passed, TGS, you know, Tokyo Game Show already passed. Of all those, which one do you think has by far been the best, you know, overall staying with you or maybe, you know, other people out there? As far as, you know, like releasing titles.
I was actually at TGS, and I don't know, it was kind of just showing you stuff that you've already seen before. So I'd say E3 is probably the premier event of announcing stuff, and that's something I'd like to maybe check out one day too. So,
but which one did you feel that, you know, just recently passed was the best one hands down this year that just passed?
I'd say E3. Yeah,
say E3. Okay. Besides that, you mentioned a little bit, you know, about how a lot of stuff is being kind of like reshuffled, rehashed, and that new IPs need to be, you know, coming out and stuff like that. You know, what do you think of new ideas like such as like the Kinect or Sony Move or all this kind of like new peripheral or new type of technology that's being pushed for games? You know, with, you mentioned 3D gaming being another one.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I played the Kinect with Phil recently and we sat there for several hours and went through a bunch of games. And it reminds me so much of like any new technology that's new. It's not quite there yet. You know, I remember like back in the day when like basically like, you know, the internet first came out and it was there and you saw like the potential in it, but it wasn't quite there yet. So I think that's kind of like what the Kinect is right now. It's like a couple years away from being really something that could be used. I don't see how it could be in a game where you have to like really have a quick movements and quick reflexes and it's going to work correctly.
Yeah.
And the other, you know, the flip side of that, I think it's sad that they're catering more towards, you know, casual players and people that probably aren't going to be around, you know, after a couple of years or so. So,
yeah, that's a big thing going on now.
Like I said, I don't think anyone knows what to do. I don't think they know. I think they see money. I think Nintendo kind of opened their eyes and they see that there's money that they can be made with all kinds of people, but, It's like the wrong direction, in my opinion. Like back in the day, Super Nintendo Genesis era was so good because they couldn't, the way they competed with each other was by making great games. And now it's like, you know, Microsoft has to sign exclusivity with ESPN and that trumps Sony, and then Sony goes and does something with like, you know, Netflix or whatever, and that like they combat each other with like stuff that has nothing to do with gaming. And it takes away from the gaming aspect of it.
You have to get back to the games.
Right.
Now, you know, to get off on a different subject, you know, and I think this should be mentioned because this is something that's actually really cool about your channel, is that you like comic books. You're a comic book fan. And I noticed in one of the videos, I got it pulled up here, is when you were doing a review of Blackest Night and when you were talking about it. So talk about you as a comic book fan. You know, what is, you know, your whole stance or your, you know, philosophies and stuff on comics?
I was really into comics, I'd say, for about 10 years, up until about 2 years ago. I kind of fell off on it. But it's kind of like a lost art form in a lot of ways, or a lost way for people to get entertainment. But there is some good stuff coming out. So I'm starting to get back into it now and then, looking at stuff, and I just think comics are really beautiful, and there's something to be said about that art form, you know.
Of most of the comics that you remember, you know, that you've read, you know, what are some of the best comic books that you would automatically recommend to anybody to check out?
Well, if you get into the, you can easily go to like any store. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of comic stores anywhere. You can go to like any Borders or Barnes and Noble and get the big graphic novels. You want to get Watchmen, which is excellent, and then The Dark Knight Returns, which is a great series of comics. So I would say those are the two that anyone should start off with, and those will pull you right into the whole thing.
Kind of going off from that, which one do you feel that you get the most entertainment out of when you read your comics, you know, DC or Marvel or any other company for that matter?
I've been liking DC for a little while now. I think people knock them for a lot of these big, like, you know, crisis type things, but for the most part they do a decent job with them, and I think they're pretty entertaining. Marvel, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on with them right now. I'm not 100% up to date on it, but I'm sure they got some stuff going on. But yeah, I kind of appreciate that Blackest Night, Infinite Crisis kind of deals with that DC likes to do, throw all the characters in.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of going off from that again, you know, as a comic book fan, what do you feel about, you know, all these animated movies or these, you know, different, you know, cartoons and stuff that both Marvel and DC are doing that are based, you know, loosely, if not really based on these comics that, you know, that are such big hits, like, for example, like Superman Doomsday, his Deaths Are Superman.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen one. I do watch a lot of these things. I usually get them on the Xbox and, like, rent them or whatever. Unfortunately, I haven't seen one that really, mimics the comic, like, 100%. And, like, I don't really understand why that is. And a lot of the changes they put in are, like, strange. Like, that Superman Doomsday, like, you brought up, had, like, weird. It was, like, they took out some stuff, and they put other stuff in, and it was, like, why? You know, I don't understand why they can't be a true adaptation from the comic to a movie like that. So that's something I'd like to see them try to accomplish someday.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Me, you, a lot of other people as well. You know, on top of that, you know, just kind of mention it before, you know, we kind of like finish this up. Marvel, at least, you know, is the more recent one that's doing this, but a lot of like American-based comics are kind of taking stuff, or if not, you know, getting like borrowing different, like, you know, concepts and stuff from Japanese comics, like anime. Mm-hmm. With Marvel, the reason why I mentioned them is because they're having the Marvel animes come out, which is Iron Man and Wolverine. You know, what do you think about like that whole thing that's going on?
That's kind of interesting because you have to realize that, like, the Japanese comics came from the American comics in a lot of ways. They kind of, I think they kind of looked at the American comics. They made their own version of it, their own style of it. And now it's just kind of coming for full circle where the American companies are starting to rip off the Japanese ones instead of the other way around in a lot of ways. So, I shouldn't say ripped off, but being influenced by, you know.
Everybody's ripping off everybody.
Right. I mean, it's not something that really appeals to me. If I want to watch like an anime, I'd watch like something like an actual anime. I don't know if I would watch like the Wolverine one, you know. But it's an interesting idea. I think, you know, they're just trying to make a buck and see what they can sell. So
yeah. So, you know, before I close this off, real quick question. I just lost my mind. Oh my god, I can't believe I did that in an interview. Real quick question. You mentioned anime. Favorite anime of all time?
I'm not a big anime person. You know, I might get in a lot of trouble with this, but the only thing I watched like completely was Dragon Ball Z. So I don't know if people are gonna laugh at that or whatever. But...
No, it's fine.
And when I was in Japan, I actually turned on the TV one morning and Dragon Ball Z was on.
Sweet.
So that was pretty incredible. So you know, that's what it is.
There you go, people. John's level is over 9,000. So anyway, thanks a lot, John. You know, I really appreciate you coming on the bit. You know, I hope you had a great time. I hope it wasn't too crazy for you getting on.
That was excellent, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And it's an honor to be here. So thank you. And check out Super John Rambo on Twitter. John Rambo Presents is the channel. And everyone's please subscribe to the Venomous Fat Man's channel. He's got some great stuff going on there. So let's make that happen.
There you go, guys. You heard it from him. Thanks for watching the bit. Thanks, John, for being on here. We'll talk to you guys next time. From John Rambo, Venomous Batman, enjoy your day, people.
Peace.